It's all about size on today's show. We've got a giant laptop, a couple of portable speakers, and the world's biggest and the world's smallest cell phones. It's time to watch before you buy.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
Before You Buy is brought to you by Netflix. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your PC, Mac, iPad, iPhone, or TV instantly. All streamed directly to you, saving you time, money, and hassle. For your 30-day free trial, go to Netflix.com/Twit. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Before You Buy, the product review show on Twit, where we get the latest, greatest stuff, and then we get our Twit team to review it. We've got some great products for you today. Radford has the biggest laptop I've seen in years, and I have the biggest phone you've ever seen, an 8-inch phone. Are you ready for it? Before we do that, let's say hello to Sarah Lane. We gave her a couple of portable speakers to review. Sarah?
Hey, everybody. Sarah Lane here, and I'm about to take a couple of portable speakers for a ride. I love audio, so I figured for you buy, Shannon, give me the speakers. I'll test them out, and I'll let you guys know what I think. The first one, sort of the bigger of these two speakers that we're going to cover today. This is the BEM Boombox. B-E-M Wireless is the company. And the Boombox sells for $250. $249.99 retail. And you might say, what? $250 for this? Why? Well, a few reasons. First of all, it's a pretty substantial speaker. What I've done here is I've gone ahead and connected it to my phone via Bluetooth. If I just go ahead and play one of my favorite Billy Joel songs, you get pretty good audio if you crank it up. That's as far as it goes. All right, so you get the idea. So it works very well via Bluetooth. What's nice is you have the option of, once it's turned on, this is, you got a little battery inside, so it's all charged up. You can plug it in to charge it just via regular DC jack, or you've got your auxiliary in or out. So you've got some options, but the whole idea is pretty much to have it portable. Bring it to a picnic with you, or outside, or on your friend's yacht. I don't know, whatever. You've got your nice controls up top here. You've got your play, pause, up and down volume. It's very, very simple. What I have noticed, and maybe it's just because I am very sensitive to these things because I have an iPhone, is lots of smudgy fingerprints up top. You've got this nice sort of chrome thing going on, but it does tend to look pretty fingerprinty and smudgy pretty quickly. If that bothers you, something to think about. Otherwise, in general, even though it looks like there's a speaker on the back, it really just does face one way. So it's just the forward-facing speaker. For $250, I figure, well, it's portable, but let's say you're not ready to spring for, let's say, a Sonos sound system, something like the BEM speaker in a room, especially if it's not too big of a room, there's not too many places for sound to bounce off of, makes it a lot more flexible. And again, I think the audio is pretty good. I've heard better, but I think for a single speaker, it's pretty good. If you've got $250, I call this a buy. Now, let's move on to another version of a Bluetooth / wireless speaker. This is called the Lyrix Duo. This retails for $50. What we've got here is you've got a little speaker here, plus a little receiver, so you can actually control the speaker from farther away if for whatever reason you don't want it all in one place. I've got a bone to pick with the Lyrix. Now, the idea is that it's tiny, right? So you figure, well, the speaker's probably not going to be all that robust, but you've kind of got a little sticky thing, and maybe you stick it on a mirror when you're getting ready in the morning, or on the side of your car. I don't know, so somewhere where it would stick. You've got your up and down volume buttons. You got your Bluetooth button. I'm telling you, I tried long and hard to get this thing to pair with my phone. Now, at first I thought, hey, maybe because I'm trying too many Bluetooth things in one place, that's the problem. Doesn't seem to be the problem. For whatever reason, there's either a faulty model or the Lyrix speaker is so finicky that it can't handle a studio type of a setting, so Bluetooth doesn't work. Now, if I go ahead and connect it to my phone, hardwire it. Let's go back to Billy Joel here. It'll work. Might as well be the one. So it works. First of all, this is not what it's designed for, so that's not worth $50. Also, I just had that turned up all the way. Now, I know it's sometimes hard to translate over video, but not loud. So you couldn't be, if you're right next to the speaker, even if it was working via Bluetooth correctly, it would be fine. But even across the room, it wouldn't be good enough. I don't think that this is worth buying at all. Even if the Bluetooth was working, it's just not powerful enough to make a lot of sense, considering that it's not really that tiny. So for $50, I'm saying do not buy for the Lyrics Duo. We've got a buy for the BEM boombox. Again, $250. So that's not chump change. That's quite an investment. But if you're looking for that single speaker that's really versatile, you can take it anywhere, I think this is a good bet. Lyrics Duo, I'm going to have to pass. Thing doesn't work well. And even if it did, not powerful enough. And that's all I have to say about audio for this edition of Before You Buy.
Tell them, Sarah. You tell them, Sarah Lane. Sarah Lane is the host of TNT Monday through Friday, your daily dose of tech news, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 1700 UTC on Twit. She's also the host of other shows like The Great iPad Today with that Nimrod Leo. That's on Thursday afternoons, and i5 for the iPhone, and what she does Mondays, and the fabulous Social Hour every Friday. Sarah Lane, she does that with Amber MacArthur. All right, we're going to move on to the big laptop. Our chief of engineering, Radford Castro, is here with the Asus G750. But this is a gaming machine, so of course it's big. Hi, Radford.
Yes.
So tell us what you thought about the G750.
Well, aside from its size and its not so
is it
stuffy.
A 17-inch screen?
It's yeah, 17.3.
So I'm surprised somebody even makes those. Apple stopped making them. I guess they're still...
Yeah.
Still somebody makes them.
But this thing is, it's built for speed. It's built for raw power.
Right.
And it's one of those things, like, you remember back in the days we used to lug our PCs around and play the games?
Right.
So now people are bringing out their laptops, and this is what they're aiming for.
This is your LAN party machine.
This is your LAN party machine,
yeah.
And so...
How heavy is it? It's like 7 pounds.
Yeah.
Looks like it.
It feels like it's even more...
Looks like a desktop replacement. Yeah.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. So it's one of those things, if you want to lug around, you want to do everything on it. It has quite a number of ports on here, and even has a DVD drive, adding more to the weight.
Why not? If you're going to make a thing that big, might as well put an optical drive in.
So it has a whole bunch of ports in it, including it has a Thunder Drive port as well.
Thunderbolt.
Yeah, so Thunderbolt, excuse me.
Yeah. But that's interesting. We're just starting to see PCs with Thunderbolt.
Yeah. This is in line with like some of the stuff like, you know, Alienware, MSI, all these other guys, including Razer, which is now starting to get into that.
Yeah, in fact, I think Chad's reviewing the Razer for a later episode. So I guess when it comes to gaming laptops, the things you care most about are speed for gaming, great keyboard and mouse combination, because that's how you control the game, and a screen that really looks good and is immersive.
Yeah,
how does it rate in those categories?
So for the screen, we're looking at full HD. So it's 1080. So it's your standard, you know, full HD. And then you have your full keyboard, including your number pad.
That's kind of funny, but I guess... Yeah. For some games, you use that number pad.
Yeah, so some people are switch-handed, and they'll they'll actually try to do...
You know. Right. No, I do that. I'm a lefty, so I do that.
Okay. So it's perfect for, like, when you have the trackpad over here. It's a little bit harder if you're going to be controlling with your WASD setup and try to control
That's not ideal, is it?
So you're going to have to need a mouse when you're going to use this
laptop. But, you know, if you're already carrying 6 pounds of hardware, you can carry a couple ounces of mouse.
Definitely.
Yeah. Let's see what that screen looks like. It's touchscreen?
So, yeah. It's this one is not touchscreen.
Not touchscreen. Yeah. Windows 8.
Yes, Windows 8. And we'll just go through some stuff here. Here's what the desktop obviously is going to look like. And for those that want to see what the resolution, the game looks like in a full resolution, this is, here's BioShock Infinity running at full res.
Now, this is an i7. Are they?
Yes, this is i7 running on Haswell.
It's Haswell as well. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And is it? It's using GeForce and NVIDIA graphics.
It's using 770.
770 is pretty good.
Yeah.
For a laptop.
Series. Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, you're not going to get any battery life on this thing.
Yes. So you're probably looking at when you're maxing this whole thing out, probably 3 to 4 hours. You know, when you're running this at full blast.
Somebody's calling me from Colorado. I'll just decline that call. I've got 8 phones here. I can't even figure out which one's ringing. Sorry about that.
Oh, no problem. So let's go. Pretty much This is running at full blast right now. I'm not, like, tracking down any enemies or anything.
Pretty good frame rate?
Yeah, it's a very good frame rate.
It looks good. And actually, the quality looks pretty good, too.
The quality is great.
Yeah.
And, I mean, this is running at full blast. You know, obviously, you'll have some frame rate dips when you start.
How hot does it get? How fast do the fans blow? Is it really?
It gets pretty hot.
Is it about to take off?
Yeah, it's about to take off. And you have, you know, basically the blowers.
Right.
Where they typically are located. But it's pretty good, actually. You know, I did a benchmark. BioShock has its own benchmarks that you could run. And for those who are interested in it, there's actually, I put them right over here.
Okay.
And so it runs at about, you know, 12 or 62 frames per second on average.
Okay.
Yeah, which is more than enough.
It's adequate, yeah.
Yeah, and at the max it runs at 216, so it's really, really good.
Okay.
Then I ran this other second benchmark called 3D Mark, which a lot of the gamers use, and I got this. And right now it runs 69% better than a lot of the other gaming laptops.
What was the raw number? I see
the raw number. It's 19384.
19384 is good. Yeah. And is that the OpenGL benchmark? Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's good. That's
yeah, it's nice. Great. And it does all this stuff in it. You're just right in between, you know, the high-end gaming PC and you know, typical gaming laptop.
When you have it cranked up like that, does it feel hot? I mean,
it does.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of the times too is when you're working on the keyboard, you can feel a little bit of the air coming out through the keys.
Yeah.
Especially when it's backlit like this.
That's okay.
So
you're flying along.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
How's the audio on that?
The audio is actually pretty good. Yeah. So this has what they call sound media. It's one of their Asus's, you know, proprietary type of, but it has also an amplifier. And it doesn't sound tinny. It actually sounds very full in terms of, at least bass-wise. I played a couple of music here and there. And so it works with a variety of genres, and it works pretty well.
Now, how much I'm sure there's different ranges. This is the one we have here.
It's the GX. Yeah, so this is the 750 JX. There's a JW, which is 700, uses the 760 or 765 GeForce. And that one has only 12 gigabytes of RAM versus 16.
So that's the lower end. This is, you know, actually, how much did this come as equipped? How much was this?
$1,899.
And it starts at $1,400.
Yeah, it starts at $1,400 for the low end.
So that's not horrible, given, you know, you're getting a lot of performance out of this thing. Mm-hmm. Let's get the pros and cons.
So the pros is that you got a lot of speed and you can play the latest games.
Right.
And you can play them at full blast. Another cool thing,
too. Sorry about that.
Oh, no,
it's the same. Sorry.
So the other thing that it also has, the other pro, is the fact that it can it runs a lot of the desktop, has a lot of amenities you'd expect from a regular desktop. And thirdly, it's just an overall pretty good system. And it comes with a bunch of stuff, like it even has Asus Cloud that you can upload 32 gigabytes with. So if you buy one of the laptops, you have about 32 gigabytes of, you know, cloud storage. You can upload whatever you want to it. And of course, you have Thunderbolt and all that good stuff.
So the cons.
The cons, obviously, is the weight and the size.
Yeah.
It's a little bit thicker profile.
Yeah.
So it's similar to what you see in a lot of gaming laptops. Other thing, too, is that it gets a little fingerprinty.
And yeah. Is it brushed aluminum?
Yeah, it's brushed aluminum.
Even on the top
nickel
there.
But when you rest your hands on it, if you get a little bit sweaty.
Smudges. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really.
And you're gonna if you're playing that game.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
So
battery life, heavy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Price is, you know, kind of middle of the road. It's not bad given what you're getting, so I don't think that's a con.
So we're going for the somewhat value-conscious PC gamer. But
right. Would you say buy, don't buy?
This is a try.
A try.
Yeah. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Radford Castro, that's the Asus G750 gaming laptop. Looks like a fairly solid entry into a very competitive field for the gamer. And I do like the metal of it.
Yes.
But, man, that thing's heavy.
That thing is big.
Hey, thank you, Radford. Radford Castro, in charge of engineering here at the Brick House Studios. We're going to get to our next interview. Shannon Morse, our producer, has something from Rocket. But first, let's talk a little bit about TV. You watch TV, Radford?
Oh.
A little bit?
Sounds.
You ever see House of Cards?
Yes.
Awesome.
Great.
Season 2's coming.
Mr. Underwood's great.
Yes. For a while, I started talking like this after watching Kevin Spacey, and I started addressing the screen. Yeah. You know, Radford doesn't know that I'm about to launch a giant attack on his ass. That's what he said. It was stuff like that. It was great. I love
speech like that, too. That's pretty good.
Yeah, have you seen the new Arrested Development, right?
Yes.
Netflix is doing great stuff. Of course, all the movies and TV shows you expect from Netflix. You watch The Office. The new show is Orange is the New Black, another Netflix production that's fantastic. And you get all this for an amazing $7.99 a month. And Netflix is the best deal on streaming television out there. You can play your movies on the PC, the Mac, the iPad, the iPhone, or the TV instantly. Pretty much everything has Netflix, even the Chromecast. What I've been doing now is Chromecasting my Netflix, and it's so great. I can watch it on any device, control it with my smartphone, which has, in my opinion, the best Netflix interface. $7.99 a month. Start your free month right now. 30 days free when you visit netflix.com/twit. Will you do us a favor? I know you're probably all Netflix members, but tell a friend to get on it before season 2 of House of Cards comes out. They can watch all of season 1, one of the best shows, 13 Emmy nominations ever, and it's exclusive. It's only on Netflix. Netflix.com/twit, and you can watch it for a whole month free. All right, now we're going to get Shannon Morse in here. She is our producer. She does this show. We gave her a couple of gaming devices, a Rocket Mouse and a SensePad, and she gave us this review in return.
Hello, everyone. I am Shannon Morse, and today I am reviewing the Rocket Kone XTD Maximum Customization Gaming Mouse. Now, this thing costs $89.99, a whole whopping $90, but it is full of customization, and you can do tons of profiles and change the colors on it, so it's kind of cool. It has 8 different buttons that you can customize and change profiles with, and it also has a 4D mouse wheel, which means you can go front and back, also left and right. The braided cord is extremely long, which is great for, well, any desk that you might possibly be using with it, and it's also USB 2.0. It also includes these weights, so you get 4 5-gram weights that you can put into the bottom of the mouse. Now, I did notice whenever I was messing with the grams, messing with the weights, that this little opening, this little door, is a little bit loose, so every time I put it back on, I had to make sure that I had it all the way on there by shaking it and making sure it didn't drop off again and again. So this is one of the only Rocket mice that I found that can actually be used with a Mac computer. You can use any of the mice with a Mac computer, but this is the only one that can really be customized. You have drivers for it available on their website. So in the profile settings on the computer, I have the choice to do 5 different profiles, as well as doing this thing called Easy Shift Plus. Now, basically what that means is I can get 2 functions out of 1 key. So I have my first profile, which does all my browser configuration. So when I'm playing on Safari or Chrome or whatnot, I can go forward and backwards, open a new tab, etc., etc. But I can also click the Easy Shift Plus button and use all the different buttons for something completely different without having to go into the settings and change a profile. It makes it very quick to do extra things, such as multimedia. It would be a really good option to use this for playing and pausing and doing such things as that. I also did want to mention really quick that I was using this mouse pad for all of my testing with the Rocket Kone XTD mouse. This is called the Rocket Sense mouse pad. It only costs $19.99. It's 2 millimeters thin, very thin. It has a rubberized bottom to it, so it doesn't slip or anything like that. It's a very large mouse pad, but it's not so big that you won't be able to use it on a normal desk such as, well, this one, even though this is kind of a studio desk. In my testing with this, I found that I didn't have really any problems with it. It's a pretty average mouse pad, so I think it's well worth $20. So back to the mouse with my pros and cons for that. First off, my pros. It's extremely comfortable. I found this was great for my hands. Of course, if you're one of the tall guys like Jason, you have larger hands, it might not work so well for you. But this was great for me. The weight was just fine. Of course, it does include the extra weights in case you want something heavier if you're a heavyweight gamer. It has plenty of customizations, including the lights. I think that's pretty cool, but maybe you really don't care about the LEDs. Maybe you want to save a little bit of money and not get any mouse with those kind of things on it. And it is also extremely powerful. When you download the drivers, the customization is great with this mouse. I personally really, really like that. And my cons. The software is rather busy. If you don't understand all of the customizations and what their definitions are, it might get a little bit confusing. Also, the weights on the bottom, the door on there, is kind of loose. But overall, those were really my only problems with this mouse. So, all in all, I think if I gave this a buy, try, or a don't buy, I think I would have to say a buy. I really like this mouse, haven't had any problems with it. It's extremely useful. I've been using it every day for the past several weeks, and so far I love the thing. So it's definitely a buy for me. Again, my name is Shannon Morse, and this is the Rocket Kone XTD mouse. Back to you guys in the studio.
Yeah, no, I'm on the show right now. Oh, I'll call you back. Thank you, Shannon. Shannon is the host of... she's not the host of producer Before You Buy. She's the host of the Great Threat Wire on the Tech Feed Network, youtube.com/techfeed. You also see her on Hack 5, and she does this show. So she gave me some big phones. In fact, I got to thank Darren Kitchen of Hack 5 for lending us this because I've been very intrigued by this. You know, I've been saying Apple should really make the next iPhone be an iPad mini. I like the idea of carrying around a big phablet in my pocket. And Samsung has kind of put their money where my mouth is by releasing, first in Europe and now in the U.S., their Galaxy Note tablets as a phone. Yes, we've got phone numbers on this thing. I can dial out. It is, in fact, I've got a T-Mobile SIM in here. You can buy it. It's a little expensive from your local phone company. I presume GSM, which would be T-Mobile or AT&T. It's $4.99 off contract, and you get $100 off if you're doing it on contract. So it's a little expensive. And I have to say, while this has many of the features of the Galaxy S4, the one thing it lacks that I really like on the Galaxy S4 is the very high resolution screen. This is only 1280 by 800. And on an 8-inch tablet, that's not ideal. You do, on the other hand, get a stylus. So it's very much like a giant note. This is, yes, an 8-inch telephone. Too big to fit in your pocket, but you've got the stylus, the S Pen. You've got the phone features, and really is truly a tablet. I mean, this is not a giant phone. It's a tablet. It's not a phablet. It's a tablet with phone capabilities, a SIM card slot, an SD card slot. It's only running a Jelly Bean 4.1, so that's a little disappointing. But I thought, well, as long as we're going to look at this, this is the Note 8. Let's take a look at the Galaxy Mega. Now, remember, in just a week, Samsung's going to talk about the Note 3, which, from all appearances, is a super high-end phablet. The Mega is not. The Mega is also kind of a mid-range, not an HD screen, 1280 by 800 again. It's certainly adequately fast, has much of the same software package as the Galaxy S4, including the fun camera modes and so forth, but it's 6.6 inches. See, it's become very clear that what Samsung's doing here is basically making phones in every possible size, from the Mini all the way up to the Mega, and yes, even to the Note 8. 6.6 inches, 8 inches. These are great, you know, phones. You don't get the wonderful screens that you get with the Galaxy S4, the high-def screens, the 1080p screen. But at a screen size of this size or even of the 8-inch size, I don't think you're really losing a lot of quality. I found that even at the 8-inch, 1280 by 800 is just fine. Remember, this is roughly the same as the iPad Mini's screen resolution. I thought, well, as long as I'm reviewing a giant phone and a big phone, why don't I review a teeny-weeny phone? And HTC has done a little phone as well. This is the Mini. Now, here's my regular HTC One. Here's the One Mini. It's just a little bit smaller. In fact, it's not so much smaller that you'd even notice unless you put them side by side. The Mini is about iPhone size. It's a little bit bigger, 4.3 inches. It's not quite the same screen resolution as the amazing big sister, the HTC One. 300-some dots per inch instead of 400-some dots per inch. It also has a little bit, you know, the side, instead of the brushed metal buttons, has just really more normal buttons. I don't mind that. It's the same camera, the ultra-pixel camera, the 4 megapixels with 2 micron sensors, F2, excellent camera. You get all the Sense 5 widgets, like the Zoe, which I like quite a bit, the automatic highlight creation and so forth. But it's just in a little bit smaller size. I think really what, to me, this phone reminded me of is kind of a ladies' version of the HTC One. For somebody with a more petite hand, could be a guy too, but kind of like a lady's wristwatch versus a man's wristwatch. Just a little bit smaller. Not a lot, just a little bit smaller, a little bit lower resolution. Smaller battery, but because it's got a smaller screen and a lower screen resolution, the battery life is about the same. They're doing a One Max. We don't have that one yet, but they're following the HTC lead of providing you with a variety of sizes. The One Max will be around a 5.5-inch screen. So HTC will have also phones in a variety of sizes. So three different phones, three different sizes. Pros and cons, all of them, the pro is you can get the phone that fits your hand, that fits your pocket, that fits your budget. The con, of course, and by the way, that's one nice thing about the Mini. It's $100 compared to the $200 for the HTC One on contract. So it is a more affordable HTC One if you've wanted one. Is it a buy, a don't buy, a try? I think in all three cases, these are tries. To me, the whole idea is, you know, for some people like me, I like a big phone. It's nice to have something like the Galaxy Mega, which is absolutely a tablet-sized phone, but still small enough. I can watch, fit it right in my pocket here, and just like a regular phone. I should point out that we're about to see the Samsung Galaxy Note 3. If you're in the market for a phone roughly this size, which the Note 3 will be, it's going to be a little smaller than this. I'd probably wait and see what the Note 3 offers. We're hearing some interesting things, rumors about specs and so forth. If you've got to buy right now and you want a phablet, I think the Mega is a good choice. If you want a little bit of a tinier phone, you like the HTC One, but you don't want such a big phone or such a big price, the One Mini is great. And I have to say, I still kind of like the idea, it's not for everyone, of a tablet-sized telephone. You get some advantages. You know, if I look, for instance, at the settings on this, they really use the screen size to good advantage. They now have a gutter that I could choose the setting and see the settings on the right. Many applications, including the text messaging and phone calls, use this screen. It does have the Samsung dual window feature. So it's nice to have something this big if you've got somewhere to put it. If you carry around a purse or a backpack and you really want a big phone, nothing. I think this is a great phone, great battery life. So in every case, it's a try. It's all up to you, the size of the phone you want. I just have to commend HTC, Samsung, both, for giving us a real choice, a variety of phones and a variety of sizes to fit your budget and fit your needs. And the main point is there's nothing wrong with these phones. There's no reason to stay away from them. It's if you like that size, if you like a little teeny weeny, little mini one, go for it. I hope you enjoyed this show. This is a Before You Buy. We do it every Tuesday afternoon, about 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern time. We'd love it if you watched live. But, of course, you can get on-demand versions after the fact at our website, twit.tv/BYB, or on YouTube. In fact, what we do on YouTube is we take all these reviews and we chop them up into individual reviews so you can share them with friends, family, tell people, hey, I saw a review of that Asus laptop. If you'd like to know more, here it is on YouTube. So youtube.com/beforeyoubuy. We'd love to hear from you. BYB@twit.tv is our email address. I think that's about it. Thanks to our reviewers, Radford and Shannon and who am I missing? Sarah Lane and me. And thanks most especially to you for being here. Remember, you got to watch before you buy. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.